time now for Connecting the Diocese. Connecting the Diocese is a production of the Diocese of La Crosse. Here's host Jack Socha.
Hey, thanks for tuning in, Connecting the Diocese. I was digging around, cleaning out a drawer, and I found this little stapled together book called Grow Old Gracefully. Growing old is not so bad when you consider the alternative. Reminds me of a saying I know one guy used to say about, I get up in the morning and I'm feeling good when I stretch out my arms and I don't hit wood. But it's full of little things to consider. For example now, blessed are those who go around in circles, for they shall be called big wheels. This one is good too. Many people know how to say nothing, but not when. And one more here. Keep your back to the wall, your ear to the ground, your shoulder to the wheel, your feet on the ground. It pays to be a contortionist. The government has a bad habit of living beyond its income. And ours too. I'll be right back. No, I'm not going to actually do a COVID update this particular week. We've been doing it for 2 years now, but some pretty good advice, I do believe. You may have heard me talking about the gentleman I know who, he and his wife finally went on a long-anticipated trip to Alaska. They were waiting 2 years to finally wait for COVID to calm down. And then, while he was in Alaska, he got COVID. I found out that at least he got it on the last day of his vacation, not the first day of his vacation. But he had to spend about 10 days in Canada before he could come back into the country. Now, this is a pretty hefty burden when you're paying for a good hotel or even a bad hotel in Canada, plus your food and everything else. But he said he was very fortunate that he got travel insurance, something, frankly, I never thought about. Apparently, travel insurance, at least some of it, will include illnesses that require you to stay at a hospital or, in this case, at a hotel. So the financial burden for 10 days that he didn't expect was not quite as high. Now, whether or not that paid for the whole thing, I'm not sure. He thought there may have been some other governmental things that kick in as well, but I can't really discuss that because I don't really know. But the point I'm trying to make is that if you are planning to go on a long-awaited vacation, either in this country or outside the country, you might want to take a real close look at what is available in travel insurance. So that if, heaven forbid, you do get COVID out on the road and you are really laid up for several days or quarantined for 10 days, it is not going to cost you more than your trip would have cost. Also, if you're just taking a short domestic trip to go visit family or whatever, in this time of COVID, you may want to check with your insurance coverage to see what happens if you have to go see a doctor and you're out of your coverage area. Depending on what kind of coverage you have, it could get quite expensive if they just aren't going to cover it. You may have to talk to your insurance agent and say, hey, I'm going to Des Moines for 2 weeks. Am I covered? So basically, just be aware of your coverage so you don't get any nasty surprises. See, that wasn't so bad, was it? Again, thanks for tuning in, Connecting the Diocese. You know, the seasons are changing, and that always gets me thinking about how the challenges are changing for our dear friends at Catholic Charities. It's unbelievable that they're thinking ahead. You know, I get to think ahead in a month or two about what we're going to do for the holidays for broadcasting. Roberto Partaru, the director of Catholic Charities, is joining us, and he's thinking way ahead and also immediately ahead in the next few months. So, Roberto, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. Happy to be here.
You know, I'm always amazed. I don't think that the average person understands how I may not think ahead about changing the antifreeze in my car or making sure there's enough oil for our furnace and what strategies we're going to have to save on heating this year. You are thinking ahead, and you, I mean all of you at Catholic Charities, about how the changing seasons are going to impact the lives of literally hundreds of people throughout the Diocese of La Crosse. It's amazing. You're always thinking way ahead of the actual time.
Well, we have to. We don't have a choice. I mean, it is a matter. In order for things to work out, we need to coordinate with so many people and so many different agencies and different authorities, government authorities, city authorities. So we need to make sure that everybody's in line so that we can all work together at the best. In every city that we operate with partners. We operate with other agencies, with other churches. So as a community, we need to plan ahead, and that requires time, because agreeing on something is not always that easy.
It reminds me back in the old days of variety shows. They would have some guy on with a whole bunch of sticks and a whole bunch of plates. And they're spinning all these plates, you know, and they're holding up five plates and they're spinning around and doing all this stuff. You have all these plates up in the air spinning. And
I feel like that at times.
Every once in a while, you know, you expect something to be there, maybe a government program or whatever. And you suddenly discover that because of something, it's on hold because of more pressing business took place, whatever the case may be. And you have to kind of keep all those plates spinning in the air. We are always talking about people who need things. And the point that we try to make with the show over and over again in so many different aspects is we're not just concerned about your spiritual life, although we are, but there's people out there who, through no fault of their own, suddenly have the rug pulled out from under them in many different ways. It can be the inflation has caused them to not be able to eat better food. It can be all kinds of different things going on. Rent increases. Apparently, the inflation and the cost of rent just doesn't seem to be stopping going up, does it?
It has skyrocketed. You know, a couple of years ago, you could find an apartment in here in La Crosse, in the city of La Crosse, for $700 a month for a two-bedroom apartment. Today, you're looking at $1,200, $1,300, even $1,400. That's the least expensive ones that you can find. It is crazy how prices have gone up. And you look at prices of food, prices of rent, prices of gasoline, prices of clothes, all the basic necessities that people need, the prices have skyrocketed. So we have to think ahead and we have to try to prepare so that the people that need our assistance, families that need to send their children to school. We just recently finished our third drive doing the back to school drive. So at the community center at the downtown. So.
How did that work out? I know that was, again, an example of the big back-to-school thing that has been going on for quite a few years now. And that is a combined project of many, many different nonprofits working together. And backpacks and pencils and everything you can think of. The idea was that, you know, you got a kid who's in a family that is really stretched thin money-wise, and they don't understand that. They don't understand that they don't have a nice backpack to bring to school. And you know how kids are sometimes, that look at Freddie, he's got a paper bag to hold his stuff. You know, they're horrible at each other. And so you try to avert that. And also, this means that the kids can concentrate on learning as opposed to worrying that they haven't got a pencil or a pen or a notebook or whatever. How many kits did you folks distribute?
We distributed the last time, that was about a week and a half ago, we distributed 397 kits. So over 100 and about 190 families.
Mm-hmm.
It was a large number of kids. What we want to make sure is that kids feel the same as everybody else, so that they don't feel different. Nobody points at them, well, you don't have this, you don't, or your backpack or your pencils are look different. And for kids, it's important to be accepted and to be part of the group. So that happens.
Yeah, that's a real problem. I know that there used to be this old insult to kids, like, you know, your mother dresses you funny. I had one of those. I was in the Civil Air Patrol when I was in, like, a freshman and sophomore in high school, and that was a very valuable experience for me. And my mother actually also was in as well, and she was kind of involved with logistics, storing uniforms and doing this and the other. And one time, I don't know what it was going on, but she gave me a pair of pants and a shirt that were kind of part of an Air Force uniform, a blue pants and a light blue shirt. And it looked okay to her, it looked fine to me, but then I go to school, and these kids are looking at me like, you know, back then it was black slacks with white socks and black shoes, and that was kind of the cool thing. And here I was wearing what looked like army surplus, because basically it was. And it wasn't the financial thing. It just, my mother didn't think it looked that bad, and I was a kid. I didn't care. But
it all depends on which grade that you're in. But as you grow up, short pants were for little kids. And when you're in fourth grade, you're a big kid. You're not you're not small anymore. So
it's a point that people overlook, that not everybody can have their kids just absolutely ready and to go for school. And some of us have forgotten what that pressure feels like, whether we were a little boy or a girl. Kids can be rotten to each other.
They are. You know, they're at that age where they're learning how to behave and how to treat each other. And that's why it's so important to show them and teach them to treat everybody with respect.
Yeah.
And the importance of that they are respected, and they respect others. So that's one of the biggest things that parents can teach their children, respect each other.
Yeah, that if someone looks a little different than you or acts a little different than you, it's really hard at that age bracket, because they keep talking about how your brains aren't even fully developed at that point. But yeah, it's different. I was just chatting on Facebook with some of my former high school graduates from many, many years ago. And every once in a while, we get a notice that one of us has passed away. I mentioned and I said, you know, isn't it interesting? We had a very, very large high school. It was East Coast, not a metro area, but it was big. And there's a whole bunch of people I never got to know. And I was lamenting, I was saying, isn't it interesting that we missed out on talking to each other so much in high school? And now that we're older, we discover that we're actually even more interesting than we were back then. And people were agreeing. Meanwhile, I was in a fifth grade. My class was literally a poster child. And I mean literally, for school overcrowding. They took pictures of the classroom. At the same time, my wife, which is in the Owen Withy area, was going to a one-room schoolhouse. We keep saying it's like a bad situation comedy. You know, I was overcrowded. I could see the Empire State Building out my back window. She was on a dairy farm in Wisconsin at a one-room schoolhouse. Yeah, just amazing. But yeah, it's an important thing, and you'll be doing this every year. Any idea how many years this program has been going on in our area?
What I recall is more than 10 years. I've been here for 8 years now, and it's always been here. So
that's good. I also noticed in areas, you know, more rural areas outside of La Crosse proper, many organizations and many churches of various denominations also have not as large a program, but they have school supplies and things like that. And basically what it's going to show is that how much the need is for this kind of thing, how things are stretched kind of tight right now.
And there's a tremendous need. I mean, we were calculating it's almost over $100 per kid.
I don't know if they let you have protractors anymore in geometry class, because they had points on the end that were kind of dangerous. But anyway, yeah, a lot of things. And I've never been a backpack person. This whole idea of backpacking is still new to me. I understand you need to carry your laptop and your other stuff, and it's a big deal. Backpacks are fashionable, and some of them even have solar cells on them now to charge your phone. I mean, it's like, okay, it's a different world for me, but that's just the way it goes. Also, I was looking around and we were talking. There's another big thing you guys did. We have mentioned this before, that most people don't know this because they don't study Catholic Charities full time, obviously, that Catholic Charities throughout the country, and you are one of the directors on the national level, is the largest provider of low-cost housing in America. Is that still true?
Catholic Charities, different agencies, because each agency is independent. Mm-hmm. from each other, and they report to their local bishop or their board director. So there's 167 Catholic Charities throughout the United States. Within this group, many of them own housing to provide housing for the low-income families and the homeless. And Catholic Charities owns over 34,000 units.
And some of those are former apartment complexes or
all kinds of places, houses, apartment complexes.
And because you're a nonprofit, you try to keep the rents reasonable.
It's all low rent.
Exactly.
It's affordable rent.
And I'm sure you've got waiting lists for places like that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. It's just remarkable. I mean, I get online newspapers from everywhere, from New York to Minneapolis and everywhere. And I'm kind of a news junkie. I suddenly have become. But I know that in Minneapolis, boy, the minute that a building goes up for sale, they have apartment complexes that have fallen into disuse and have not been properly managed, and that places like Catholic Charities will snap them up if they become available, and then refurbish them, and then make them available for people who need homes who can't afford the skyrocketing rent. It's just remarkable. But I think a lot of people probably don't realize that how much 34,000 units. So that means 34,000 families or individuals are being housed affordably, because Catholic Charities believes that everybody deserves to have a roof over their head.
Absolutely.
Actually, yeah, it's really good. Now, you told me that you have just recently purchased a house. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure.
You don't mean for you. I mean, you have the Catholic Charities.
Catholic Charities. Well, we have a number of programs, but because of our Afghan refugees that came into the States, now they are in the area of Wausau. So a couple of weeks ago, we purchased a house that was actually more than a purchase. It was a big donation from St. Vincent de Paul and another group that gave to us, so we took over so that we can house Afghan families. It's a two apartment complex. Mm-hmm. So it's a first and second floor separate apartments so that we can have two Afghan families. And we expect, hopefully, if everything works out well, we're currently renovating that house, fixing it in the interior and the exterior, and the families will be able to move by the end of September.
Wow. And again, I think we should point out that this was made possible by a donation from the St. Vincent de Paul Society.
Correct.
Next time you are driving through Marshfield, Wisconsin, go to the St. Vincent de Paul thrift store and shop, or better yet, even bring some stuff that you're trying to get rid of. I know it well because I lived in Marshfield for a number of years, and boy, I'll tell you the stuff that they do. But isn't that wonderful? All this fits together. It doesn't always connect the dots, but when you think that, let's say you have a microwave oven or you have something you don't need that still works, that's the important part. You drop it off at, say, St. Vincent de Paul over at Marshfield, or another one near you. That somebody who needs a microwave and can't afford to buy one buys it for $10 or whatever the case may be. They get the microwave. It's no longer e-waste because it still works and it doesn't just get thrown away. So they get the use of it. St. Vincent de Paul gets the money. The money ends up going to, for example, Catholic Charities. That money gets going into a house and people are being housed because of it. All this stuff works because lots of people are doing lots of small things. And it coalesces, which is just a wonderful thing to see. That's one of the best parts of doing this radio show, is I get to watch the end product. You know, of all these little donations, $5 here, $5 there. Maybe you don't need this couch. Maybe you don't need this air conditioner. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. It ends up percolating up. And it really does work. So in September, you already have some families who are going to be moving in who were part of the Afghan program that was going on at Fort McCoy last year, right?
Correct.
Speaking of which, I should mention that we were just talking a few weeks ago with our new communications director, Eric Archer, who does not replace Jack Felsheim. Jack Felsheim is busy working on the magazine, but he's deeply, deeply involved in the kind of things we're just talking about right now. And his wife, whose name is Beth, has been, even before he was working with the diocese, been working with you. What all does she do now?
Well, she's our coordinator for our Afghan program. Beth worked with us at Fort McCoy, and that's how we met her. So she spent 6 months or more working with us at Fort McCoy and helping us run all the programs and the volunteers. So she continues to do that and coordinates all our efforts with the Afghan community. So we're organizing a big Afghan day so that they can celebrate and feel welcome here. And Beth is organizing that. We have been able to match donations, and for example, some Afghan families need our assistance, and we're providing assistance with rent. And that way, some Afghan families have purchased cars, and they are able to have transportation for their family.
Right. Now, so, you mentioned this special celebration day. I'm curious as to, when you say celebration, what are they going to do? I mean, is it going to be food, dancing, music? What all is it going to be?
It's going to be food, music, and all different types of events.
That is fantastic.
I will find out some more information for you, and I will have it. Unfortunately, when you look for something,
trust me, believe me.
You can't find it.
Yeah, I am paperwork adverse. I was just asked by Eric, our communications guy, to give him a kind of a heads up as to what shows are coming up for the next number of weeks. And I had to scrounge around to find all the disparate pieces of paper and put them into one sheet. So, now I know myself, I can look ahead. But it's amazing how we are having to work ahead as well on these things. And it's really important when these events happen. I always talk to our different agencies that if they can get it to be, there's not a great deal of lag getting it on the air. But in some cases, some of the media out there, they want like a 2-month advance notice. And sometimes you can't do that because things haven't gelled yet. We're pretty tight. If you get hold of me on a Monday, I can have it on the following weekend. So we're pretty responsive to those kind of things. But I'm personally, both photographically and audibly, I'm to take pictures and get some audio. I think it'll be a lovely, lovely celebration.
It's going to be a beautiful day. It's actually, I found the information. It is the Afghan Day of Celebration. It's September 17th.
Okay.
September 17th, where Catholic Charities would like to honor the Afghan communities with a day dedicated to celebrating Afghanistan. It its people and their beautiful culture. So we will have authentic Afghan food catered from Holy Land Grocery, live Afghan music, family-friendly entertainment, social engagement for families and individuals, and it will be in La Crosse.
Okay.
On the 17th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
Okay, and you're going to let me know the location so I don't go wandering around looking for the party, right?
Correct.
Yeah, I will front promote this some more. That sounds exciting. It really does. What a wonderful thing. You know, we talked, Karen Becker was also greatly involved as well. And right. There was the episode where she was talking to this a young girl who was very relieved to see that that some of Karen's family members had dark eyes and dark hair and even had beards, because she was very afraid that with her look that she would be somehow not accepted when she goes to school. You know, the fears that people have. And there was a book that came out years and years ago, a science fiction book actually, called Stranger in a Strange Land. And for many of these people, they are strangers in this very strange land called the United States. And so like the Hmong who helped us out so many years ago and have now really integrated in quite a good ways, it's going to be a joy to find out what they have to offer. You know, it's just a joy. And there will be some language barriers going on, but some of these folks were translators for the American service people. It's exciting. I'm one of these guys, Roberto. Unlike you, you have been in different parts of the world. I haven't traveled appreciably outside this country. I mean, I've been to Toronto. Okay, it's nice. I love it. I went down to Cancun on a business trip, not a party. And that's about it. And frankly, this is my way of exploring the world, is to meet other cultures. And I really enjoy it. It's just exciting. It really is. It just really is tremendous. So anyway, we will look forward to hearing more about that as well. Winter is coming. Yeah, it's amazing. We are looking ahead again to looking at getting fuel oil, waiting for the prices to drop at just the right time before they go back up again, and all kinds of things like that. We've been trying to look into getting new windows put in to further insulate the place, but again, that's because of all the construction going on and service things. It's been tough for us. Our concerns are minor, fuel oil and getting new windows, compared to the kind of concerns you have to deal with. How many people do you think right now in the greater La Crosse area, or maybe the diocese, are, as you call it, unsheltered?
Count is very, it's very fluid. I mean, the numbers change on a regular basis. We think there are over 200 individuals unsheltered, approximately. And we served last year, just to give you an idea, we served over 720 different individuals in our shelters in La Crosse, Eau Claire, and Wausau. So those are the numbers we're looking at this year, to serve that many people. So we're currently preparing for our winter program to open our warming center in Eau Claire. We're in the middle of the construction of tripling the size of our Sojourner House. We're increasing the capacity from 3,000 square feet to approximately 10,000 square feet. We can actually serve all the people that need to be served. And in Wausau, we're also moving into our new building, which is the CPC, the Community Partners Campus, where we will have a new building and seven agencies are coming together so that we can all provide services under one roof. And we will be providing a free clinic, free meals. The county will have an office there to provide all the services that the county offers. We will have the warming center and the shelter there. So we're getting ready with all of that, and we're looking at operating 365 days.
Yeah, that's a big deal now. Speaking of 365 days, now, is it my imagination, or was this just kind of a really hard summer?
It's been a hard summer because it hasn't been that hot, but it's been hot and humid enough, and with enough water and enough rain, that has made life for those who are unhoused very difficult.
Yeah, I mean, we are living in a rural area, and we did just recently read that we are surrounded by cornfields, that corn evaporates an enormous amount of water into the air every day, which doesn't help. But we have a couple of dehumidifiers, you know, one in the garage and one in a room in the house. And I cannot believe how many gallons of water I have been drawing out of the air in the house this summer. And it my wife was just commenting, she says, this seems like it's been kind of a rough summer. We don't get out much. We're still a little bit shy. We're getting into crowds right now, and also I work from home. But basically, it just seems like, you know, just even going out to the mailbox or go going to the local grocery store. Boy, you get into the car and you switch on the air conditioning and it feels really good. And then you get out of the car and it's not so good. And it must be unbearable to be living in a small plastic tent, you know, maybe one that's just made up of various bits of kind of fabric, and to have that heat bearing down on you and no dehumidifying.
An open place with no bathrooms and no showers and no services. And you have to be careful so that nobody takes your belongings and steals them. So it's the challenges that the individuals face when they live on out of a tent.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's not like going camping for a few days by a long shot. And also the idea that someone mentioned, maybe it was you in a previous show, that you're constantly concerned about, number one, what's going to happen that night? Where are you going to stay? Are you going to be in a safe place? Is someone going to try to steal your stuff? Are you going to be minding your own business and accidentally bump into some kind of a drug deal going on? And then all of a sudden things get out of control. Things that most of us don't worry about at all. And you don't have a lot of time to make plans ahead.
If you have never had your house broken into. When I first got married, I lived in an apartment with my wife. We have somebody broke into that apartment. The feeling of insecurity, of being violated, of being raped, basically, that sense of insecurity of not being able to go to your house and feel safe, it is amazing. I mean, it's just really amazing. We ended up moving. I mean, we couldn't stay in that apartment any longer. We had to leave.
Yeah.
So can you imagine living that experience on a daily basis where all your belongings are in a backpack?
Yeah, it's just, we have just the faintest perception of these kind of things. Years ago, when I was doing morning news stuff in San Antonio, Texas, we actually had a thing called the Stolen Car Watch, because every day, 30 cars were stolen in San Antonio. And back in those days, they said if you had an Oldsmobile Cutlass, it wasn't a question of whether it was going to get stolen, but when it was going to get stolen. And we had carjackings in Minneapolis. If you got a certain Hyundai models, they're popular. And so people were buying these things to stick on their steering wheels to lock them so that people couldn't steal their cars. And, you know, you go shopping and then you have to remember to hook this thing up to the club, I think it was called, that you jam into. And, you know, it was... It wasn't like a constant fear, but in other places, we never think about that. Heck, even in these rural areas, I see people getting out of their cars and going into a Quick Trip, leaving their engines running.
You wouldn't do that in New York.
No, you wouldn't do that in New York. And frankly, it's not a good idea no matter where you are these days. Yeah. But not to mention the fact it wastes gasoline, which we really can't afford either. Yeah, it's real hard to put yourself in the mindset of a person who, as we say, homeless is a good term, but the term that you have been using more, unsheltered. Unsheltered from the weather, unsheltered from crime, unsheltered from insecurity, unsheltered from hunger. You know, one time I was driving down, I think it was West Avenue, and one of the places was opening up for the night, and people were lining up to get in. And as I was driving by, I glanced over, and there was one relatively young person who was unsheltered, and they had managed to get a large flat cake, you know, the kind of thing that would be like a party cake, you know, a big plastic box. Obviously, Festival Foods or one of these places had given it away through the Salvation Army or whatever, but they were taking this with them into the shelter. And, you know, there'd be other people driving by going, how can that person afford to buy that cake? No, they were not buying a cake because it was a fun thing to have, because it was something they could eat. And, you know, it's very difficult to put yourself in that kind of mindset. In the bitter winter, if you have a mailbox by the road, if you're in a rural area, when you go get the mail, stand out there for an extra 10 minutes and you get a better idea. You know, then imagine that all day long. It's very, very difficult. So there's about 200 in La Crosse. Other areas, of course, as well throughout the diocese are being helped. And you say that the new operation in Wausau is going to be 365 days a year?
That's what we're currently considering. We're in conversations with the city and the county so that we can operate 365. I think it's going to happen because there's the new mayor from the city, Katie Rosenberg, she's doing a tremendous job, and she's very concerned about the unsheltered population, the homeless. So we had a meeting yesterday with the city council, the finance committee. So we're looking at the possibility and what needs to happen so that we can be open 365 days. We're doing that already in Eau Claire. We are open 365 days. Similarly, here in La Crosse, we're looking at that possibility as well. Right.
We've had numbers of stories over the years with you of successes where you've gotten somebody moved into an apartment and they get a job and they're clean and sober. And eventually one gentleman was even contributing money to you from his meager paycheck to say thank you. Wonderful things. But it's also important to understand that this is a slow process. You can't snap your fingers and have a person who has been unsheltered for years or even months suddenly snap out of it and bingo, everything is wonderful. And it takes a tremendous amount of patience and understanding and, you know, as you have said, recognizing that they are one of God's loved creatures.
And as you pointed out, I mean, these are individuals who have been traumatized, have been hurt. They have had experiences in life that God forbids that anybody having to live through some of those experiences. And some of them are just bad choices and, you know, addictions and things like that, that really destroyed the person's life and destroyed the family. Have they had a family? Did they have a father when they grew up? Did they have a family that supported them and taught them well? With the destruction of the family, with the number of individuals that are born outside of the family unit, it is becoming an increasingly more severe problem. So we need to work with individuals for many years so that they can recover the sense of self and value that God gave them. Their self-dignity, their self-esteem is totally destroyed. Yeah. Many of them are thinking about suicide and thinking about they'd rather be dead or how can I get away from feeling rotten all the time. So we have to rebuild, we have to, with compassion and love, we have to rebuild their self-esteem and their sense of worth so that we can help them become who they are, who they were created, a son and daughter of God.
Yeah, and you know, this echoes, again, my often repeated sentiment that the bishop said some years ago, no one is disposable.
No one is.
And also, it occurs to me, we haven't had the folks on from Casa Hogar for a while. We're working on that, and especially with some changes in our communication structure where I can actually connect to them better than calling Peru. But basically, they're doing the same thing. They're dealing with primarily kids who have been orphaned, who just as you're talking about, the homeless folks up here may have not grown up in any kind of family structure. They're doing the same thing. They're showing them structure, family, unity, compassion and respect, which is big time. And so you see the same pattern being duplicated in the various agencies that the Diocese of La Crosse and other groups are working on and working together. It all keeps coming down to the same thing, as looking at a person and saying, you're worth it. You know,
and you have rights and you have, but you also have responsibilities.
Right. Yeah.
And with those responsibilities, there is accountability. I mean, if you do this, this is what is going to happen to you. So don't blame the world. You know, look at your life, look at your decisions so that you can become responsible and you can build your own life. But that is a process that takes us for many years.
Yeah, it's a long process. And also, you know, there's people, I mentioned this on previous shows during the public service announcements I occasionally do, that they just get in over their head in debt. They lose a job, things happen they're not supposed to, they fall for some get-rich-quick scheme that they get in the mail, you know, make money while you sleep kind of stuff. And next thing you know, they can't pay their bills. And that I say, number one, don't be ashamed. Trust me, I know where you're coming from on these things. And before you go to some payday loan place or some we'll give you money against your car title or, you know, we can dig you out from under the IRS for a fee, you should contact Catholic Charities because they will give you credit counseling and kind of help you see a better picture and all this at no charge.
Correct.
And you don't have to be Catholic. You just have to be in debt, basically. And I'm not laughing at you being in debt. Trust me, I know exactly how that feels. But there's help out there for free from people who care about you, that you get better. And all you have to do is make an appointment And before you come in, gather up all your paperwork and your bills and how your rent receipts so that they can look at the income and the outgo and help figure it out and maybe do some negotiation with the various parties involved. But your part is you have to show up and you have to have your paperwork. It may not be in perfect order, but at least have it all. Don't walk up and say, well, I think I make this much and I think I owe this much and I think the rent is this much. That's not going to help. But it's otherwise a pretty painless process if you have the paperwork.
And again, even if you don't have it, just contact us and let's talk about it so that we can help you out to figure out what is it that you need to find.
Yeah.
So that you're clear as to what situation you're financially in trouble so that you don't get into deeper trouble and we can help you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, for example, and this has got doesn't compare to the kind of depth of debt I'm talking about, but when I was coming into La Crosse every week, there's a car wash, and there was a deal where it was so much a month for unlimited car washes, and it was a much better deal to pay $20 a month than to pay each time I went in there. Well, now, for the past 2 years, I haven't really been coming in, and I'm still paying the $20 a month for getting nothing. And so next time I go to La Crosse, I got to drive over there and find out how do I disengage so that you don't keep charging my credit card every month. It's just a little thing. But if someone was to sit down with me and say, no, you've got that. You've also got a subscription to this. You've also paying for this. I probably would be shocked at how much money I'm blowing every year, $20 here, $20 there a month for services I'm not using.
Correct.
And that's, you know, and I'm a relatively careful person, you know, but I got on a mailing list and I have no idea how. I get the most amazing get rich quick schemes that are mailed to me. You can make money at home while you sleep. All you have to do is buy all these pre-addressed envelopes and we'll even give you the stamps and you mail them out to people and it's a cash money machine. We've made zillions of dollars and so can you. No. It does not work that way. And some of the stuff that you get in the mail has got misspellings in it. You can tell that the people putting these scams together are not the brightest bulbs out there, but they do know that they can try to hit you with the idea that maybe you can get out of debt by just simply sitting there and doing this. Doesn't work. And there's an entire industry. I couldn't even tell you the zillions of dollars that are spent foolishly on these kind of schemes. Between that and payday loans and car title loans, it's a jungle out there.
It is. Unfortunately, those who are most vulnerable are the ones that get hit first.
Yeah. When you're desperate, all of a sudden, these far-fetched ideas seem to make more sense. And they don't. They really don't. That's why you have to have kind of an anchor. And Catholic Charities can be that way. These people who are working with you, Roberto, at Catholic Charities, whether it be in La Crosse or anywhere, or even outside the diocese, other places, they have seen it all. They have seen every problem that you can possibly imagine.
And many have lived it. So
yes.
First-hand experience.
Yeah, there's nothing like somebody who has experienced debt and unburying themselves from it to be compassionate if you're walking in saying, gosh, I've got myself in a hole and I can't get out. They're not going to go shame on you. Because, you know, we've all been there and all done that. My goodness, in my early days of radio, I wasn't making much money and I had to be really careful. And I'm sure there are times when I've messed up and I have complete understanding as to how that can work. But all these things are available. There's a website that people can go to, ccclse.org. If you don't have a computer, you don't have any internet, go to a public library and look it up and at least see the options that they have. They've also got adoption things going on. And it's a rather amazing operation. And you are connected with other organizations so that if there's something you can't personally help with, you know someplace that can.
And that's, for example, in Warsaw. We're all now moving into this new building that I spoke about. It's called the Community Campus. Community and the CPC and Community Partners Campus, and there are so many agencies that we're working together, providing food, providing health, providing clothing, all the various needs, place to work, mental health, all those things that are needed so that we can support the families and individuals that are in need all in one roof, so you don't need to go anywhere else.
Any idea when the grand opening of that's going to be?
It's going to be, well, the due date where the we can start moving in is October 17th.
So, between September and October, you're going to be busy. We're going to have to get somebody on the ground there that either I have to get up there or whatever, and to do a little bit of audio on some of the, especially the Afghan operation. I mean, that's got just made for radio. You know, the ribbon cutting in Wausau is gorgeous, and there should definitely be some photos taken that you can put up on your website and you know, all that. I don't know if there are going to be any audio availabilities that are fantastic, but then again, maybe not. I don't know if the bishop will be up there or not to say a few words.
We hope.
Yeah, it'd be lovely. You know, he really is very much aware of all the need that's in this diocese,
and
he's also aware of the need and all of the pressures on our priests and our religious and our deacons and all of you folks as well. I mean, we have a lot of stuff. It's a very ambitious diocese. I'm not patting me on the back. I'm patting you on the back, but not me. We have really stretched out to do so many things because you see something happening and you can't ignore it. And years ago, there was this talk about how, you know, the old thing about if you see something, say something. Our priests see this stuff in their local parish, or someone quietly talks to them about a neighbor down the road who's got a problem with food.
To remember that in this diocese, we have that Franciscan heritage. The FSPAs, the Franciscan sisters, the community, or the religious communities that have grown here in La Crosse, or throughout diocese, all the various priests. This is an amazing community, an absolutely amazing, generous community.
Yeah, and the words, again, I'm paraphrasing from what the bishop said, and he was paraphrasing St. Francis. It's twice real. But the idea about go and preach the gospel, use words if necessary.
Correct.
And boy, I'll tell you, this is what goes on. I mean, like I say, I see it every single week. I see it here. I see it all around the diocese. I see it in Peru and various places. And also I talk with, you know, our various places where the missions have been supported, usually financially in small areas, mass stipends going to help these priests who are in real small areas in other countries, things like that. It's just this constant flow of help. It does indicate the depth of the need that there is in this country that is one of the richest in the world. The need is great there too, and we do what we can, which is important. But again, if people have any questions, so the best thing to do, if you can go on the internet, is go to ccclse.org. CC as in Catholic Charities, LSE as in lacrosse.org, because it's a nonprofit. It is not a situation where you can just kind of walk in, especially when we're still dealing with COVID and things like that. We're still watching with nervous anticipation as to how the fall is going to break, because we just don't know what's going to happen. I just was reading that two of the major manufacturers of vaccines have both submitted, I think it's Pfizer and Moderna, have both submitted their fall version of the booster to the FDA for approval, which means we're moving right along. So hopefully in a month or two, or, you know, when fall begins to hit strong and people are moving indoors, there will be a booster shot available, because we really, if we can possibly avoid the kind of stuff that's happened the past couple of falls, it will be a wonderful thing, but remains to be seen. Any other stuff on your mind before we close out for today?
No, I think that we just cover everything, primarily the getting ready for the winter time and the opening of the new shelters and open new facilities. In adoption, we continue to do our work. So things are moving along. So thank God we are all healthy and we are moving forward.
Well, we got you and Karen Becker and Beth and all the rest of the staff whose names I don't know, who just work all the time. By the way, I should also mention, if you do go to that ccclse.org website, there is a place where you can donate online.
Absolutely.
So if there's something that you heard today that makes you go, wow, I didn't realize, or wow, I've been there, I know what it's like, you can just go there and donate. You can make a donation right there on the spot if you wish to. But more importantly, if you are in need, or, you know, if a family member is in need, and you've been talking to them, and you know they got some trouble and they don't know what to do, but they're either too proud or just too confused by the situations going on, you might want to talk to them and say, would you mind calling Catholic Charities and talk to them, or just go to the website. And the person might even say to you, well, I'm not really Catholic. I don't go to church anymore. It doesn't matter. You need help. And they will help you, unbiased, not condemning you. They're just going to say, let's see what we can do to help make things better. And boy, that's what a wonderful occupation that is. I'm always impressed with you folks. Always impressed. But now,
I always use the line, we do help because we are Catholic. We don't serve Catholics. We do this because we are Catholics.
Exactly right. And I really want to find out real quick, complete details on this September 17th Afghan Appreciation Thankfulness Day. This is going to be a major event. And as a guy who likes to take pictures and a guy who likes to do good audio for radio, that's really cool stuff. I can't wait to get some recordings of music and singing and people laughing and just good stuff. That's wonderful. So I would very much like to get whatever press release is on that sent to me as soon as possible. And maybe I can get either you on or get Beth on prior to the event. But it's coming up so quick. See, this is the trick. If you wait till the day before the event, people can't make plans. If you do it too soon, people forget. And so you've got to hit it just the right time. And we have to sit down with the calendar. And I'm sure I've got some availabilities in September. So I'll be hounding you on that, okay?
Don't worry. Karen Becker, she's going to be, and Beth, both are going to be calling you very soon.
Maybe we'll do the Karen and Beth show.
That's a heck of a show to follow.
Oh, I'll tell you, boy, you better strap on your safety belt on that one. Yeah. But Roberto, thank you so much. We've been talking now on and off for years now, it seems like, and I'm never disappointed. I'm never saying, wow, those guys aren't doing enough. You guys are just so busy.
It's all by the grace of God.
Yeah, the grace of God is right out there. And boy, we can feel it in this diocese like you wouldn't believe. So it's really good. Roberto Parteru, the Executive Director of Catholic Charities. We will talk to you again, and hopefully we'll talk to Beth and Karen or whatever the case may be pretty darn soon as well. That'll be a good show.
Wonderful.
We'll talk to you again.
Thank you so much. God bless.
God bless you too.
The ability of people to truly use the church, the peace of mind, the comfort, the solace, to know that they are loved by God. And the church is a voice for that.
Jack Socha here with you on Connecting the Diocese. After I made this interview with Roberto, I got some more explanation as to what the Afghan Family Day is all about. And keep in mind that I have been promotion director for a number of different places, including some big radio stations and other operations, where I'm always thinking promotion, let's get people there, let's do this, it's a big event, oh boy. And there are other things in the Diocese of La Crosse that we do that I do strongly promote. However, Afghan Family Day is a little bit different situation. It is a day, and you have to kind of get yourself into the mindset of this. You're a refugee from Afghanistan. You're learning the language. You're learning the ropes. You're getting housed. You're trying to find a job. It's a strange new country, different clothes, different customs. You're trying to hang on to your own customs, and you're a stranger in a strange land, as I mentioned. So the purpose of this day, which is going to be held at the Diocesan Center, is not for the general public. It's not for me. I mean, I may go and get some audio very quietly, but I mean, it's not a big thing. It's not like the Hispanic Family Day that's been going on every year for years, where they have lots of fun and crowds coming in from all over. It's a more private affair. It is basically going to be held on the diocesan grounds, and it's an opportunity for these Afghans across the state, the ones living in Wisconsin, ones living in Minnesota, some from Iowa, to get together with their new residents from all over that have been finding places to live and enjoy their music and enjoy their food and their games and their prayer. It is really for the Afghans to come together with each other. This is vaguely reminiscent of what I talked about with Priest Unity Days. Priest Unity Days every year is a chance for priests to get together on the diocesan grounds by themselves. We always think that they always see each other all the time. Priests do not get to see each other all the time. Sure, they will gather at the cathedral for a special event, for an ordination, or something else throughout the season. But they arrive, they get, you know, dressed for Mass, then they get undressed for Mass and put on their other clothes, and they go home. They don't have a chance to hang out with each other. Priest Unity Days is that kind of a thing where the priests get to hang out with each other. They relax. Some play golf. Some just chat. Some do all kinds of different things. Pretty much the same thing going on with Afghan Family Day. And I can remember years ago when I was running the local Catholic station in La Crosse, I was going to, you know, go to Priest Unity Days and interview and talk to these priests about this, that, and the other. And, you know, I was told very politely, no, Jack, you can't. This is a day for them to relax, to be out of any public spotlight, to just kind of hang out with their fellow priests, many of whom they went through seminary with, catching up on what's going on. It's kind of the same thing. These folks are still very, very new to our country. Maybe next year, maybe the year after, maybe someday in the near future, there will be an Afghan Family Day that all of the public can come in and mix in and have a good time. But right now, they're still settling down. They're still settling in. And I suspect they are hungry, not only for Afghan food, but they're hungry for companionship of their own people. For just for a day to just be Afghans and just enjoy the company of each other and to talk about how things are going and catch up and basically, how are you doing with this? How is this going on? Are you getting a job? How is it going on? What challenges do you have? It's a wonderful idea, but it is not a public event. We are very enthusiastic about it. And I, like I say, I may stop by to record some music from it, but I'm not going to barge in there with a microphone going, well, how are you feeling here in the United States? No, they're not ready for that yet. It's more of a private thing. And there could be folks coming from three different states who are brand new to this country. And for them, it's all a little bit confusing. So that event on the 17th will be by Afghans for Afghans, a very sweet idea, and just another way that Catholic Charities is helping people who are just needing some help. So we'll catch up with that one next time. Now, one thing, kind of the flip side of the coin, that you can absolutely positively go to and enjoy yourself and are invited to do so, the Diocese of La Crosse will hold its 41st annual Rural Life Day on Wednesday, September 21st, this year, hosted at the farm of Jack and Pat Herricks at 12130 Highway 33 in Cashton, Wisconsin. Celebrate the farmers in our midst, who benefit all of us by their good stewardship of the land. The day starts with a Mass at 10 a.m. with Bishop Callahan, following awards, recognitions, blessing of crops and machinery, and lunch. It's a wonderful event. We have done this for many, many years. It is always beautiful to see. We were talking with Roberto about how some of these folks they deal with who are unsheltered have never had a family unit. Oh, you can see the benefit of a family unit right there on the farm. And all of the local kids usually put things together from different groups, FFA and all this. It is just a remarkable day to see. And if you are like me, a city kid, you'll learn a lot of stuff and you'll see how big these farms are and how much stuff it takes to produce the food that you consume. Again, this is the 41st annual Rural Life Day. Wednesday, September 21st, this is in Cashton, Wisconsin. It's at the Herricks Farm, 12130 Highway 33. Back after this. Got a special note for you who are not Catholics. If you've been listening to this show for quite some time or even a short time, and you're kind of wondering what Catholics are all about, and maybe you're interested in becoming Catholic, there's something coming up this fall and every fall that's extremely important and valuable to you and is virtually at no cost, perhaps a little bit for a couple of books here or there. It's called something called RCIA. It is the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. And it goes far beyond Catholic 101. It's about a 9-month program with weekly meetings with other people. And you learn all about what Catholics believe. Everything from saints to communion to holy water to rosaries to the foundation of the Catholic Church and why we do things that are done the way they are. There's no obligation to become Catholic. It isn't like, you know, when you go into RCIA, you will be Catholic or else. It's quite the opposite. It's an organized program that the Diocese of La Crosse has fashioned, and so you should be able to get very similar experiences throughout the entire diocese. Again, you'll learn all these different facets as to why Catholics do what they do, plenty of Q&A. Also, many of the people helping with instruction have already been through RCIA themselves, so they know what it's like to be a newbie sitting there going, I don't even know what a rosary is. Don't worry about it. It's a very comfortable situation. RCIA usually starts around October, but I want to get you interested in this now because this way they can see how many people are going to be coming in, how big a group it's going to be. Wherever you happen to be, just go to your local Catholic church, talk to the person who's in the office, or perhaps the priest, and just say, when does RCIA start, and what more information can you give me about it so you can consider it? And thanks in advance for your interest in being Catholic. Jack Socha here with you, finishing up Connecting the Diocese. Don't forget you can always reach us by writing to connecting@diolc.org. Let me leave you with some music from a contemporary Christian group called Sidewalk Prophets out of Nashville. It's a song that seems to work well with the topic for this particular week. It's called Homeless Heart. I'll see you next week. Thanks so much for listening.
All the leaves on these autumn trees, they set the gray sky on fire. Naked branches are left behind, and the whispering winds leave me tired. They blow colder than bones upon my face as I slowly shuffle home. I shuffle along. This path is so narrow, with shadows on every side. Feels like loneliness roams with me down the road. He's become a friend of mine. I'm a homeless heart, trying to find a way back to you. I'm a homeless heart, trying to find a way back. Wasn't made quite right. The light has to fight to come through. When it does, it's all faded and worn, but it carries me closer to you. I'm broken again, brought down to my knees by a grace that covers me. I'm a homeless heart, trying to find a way back to you. I'm a homeless heart, trying to find a way back. Until the day comes when I'm finally trying to find a way back. I'm a homeless heart trying to find a way back to you. I'm a homeless heart trying to find